Thank you for letting me share with you this evening. This sermon is going to be an introduction to a series that we're starting, which is on the fruit of the Spirit. And I'm really excited that as a church we've chosen to do this series, because the more I've looked at it, the more I've realised that this is actually one of the key points as living as a Christian. And it could change our lives if we let it. And actually, the more I look at it, I realise that this is a lesson that I personally really need to listen to. And so, over the course of this series, let's just pray this into our lives and let's see how we change. So, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. What an amazing list. What an amazing list of words. Sometimes the language in the Bible can be hard to read and it can be heavy, but these words are so beautiful. If you could try and think of a list of the most beautiful words, then I'm sure it would probably include some of these words. Or, you know, if you could try and change, if you had the freedom to change your character into anything you wanted it to be, then probably would the list look a bit like this? If you could actually live and people would say about you that you were loving and that you were joyful and you were kind and good, how great would that be? But if I'm honest, I find that that's hard. You know, it's hard to be able to keep to these kind of traits. Some of them maybe, some of the time, but in reality, we're not always like this, are we? And actually, if this was just a list of laws, like a New Testament Ten Commandments, it would be impossible to try and live up to. But the great thing about Galatians 5 is it doesn't just give us this beautiful list of words, but it actually shows us how we can start to put it into our lives as well. So I'm gonna go through Galatians 5 and see what it says. The chapter shows us three different ways of living. It talks about living life by following a set of laws. And then it goes on to show us a life of following our own sinful desires and our own sinful nature. And then it goes on to talk about a different life, which is life by the Spirit, which is the inspiring alternative. So I'm going to jump in and out of Galatians 5, so it might be useful to have it open. So it starts in verse 1 by saying, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves again be burdened by a yoke of slavery." It's a chapter about freedom. And moving on to verse 4, where it says, "You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace." And these are really strong words. Now, Paul is talking here about what they were called, the Judaizers of the Christian faith, and then circumcision, which probably doesn't directly affect most of us here in this congregation. But the principle of living by law is so relevant. And actually, I find as modern Protestants, it's kind of easy to say that, to point the finger at other religions and other denominations and sort of say that we don't live by a religious set of laws. But actually, do you know, if we come to church every Sunday and we do, you know, some songs, a sermon and a song to finish, and if that's not changing our lives and affecting our relationship with God, then actually it's just as much a ceremony as if we were lighting incense and candles, you know. We can have a set of do's and don'ts that we think can bring us closer to God. And also in the 21st century, I find all the time there are these kind of social laws that we're trying to live up to that we think is going to make us a better person, but in reality it doesn't. We're always trying to please other people. It's like a big thing. And on top of that, we can sort of add these Christian social laws and we're trying to put on a good appearance. And actually, we don't have to do that. That's not what it's about. That's not bringing us closer to God. And so living just by a set of laws in itself is not going to bring us closer to God. But if we're free from a set of laws, then wouldn't that mean that we'd go on and start sinning? Well, of course not. Paul says, from verse 13, he says, "You were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge in the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another humbly in love." And then from verse 19, he says, "The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discords, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God." This is kind of the opposite list of words. If you could try and write a list of words that you didn't want to be described by, that make you feel uncomfortable, that horrible words, then some of these would be included. You know, imagine if people were saying about us that we were immoral or hateful, or that we had fits of rage. You know, that doesn't sound like what we want at all. And also, a lot of these things are kind of addictive, aren't they? You know, drunkenness, sexual immorality, and selfish ambition as well. So if we were using our freedom to go into sin, then actually we'd find ourselves going from a slave to the laws to just being a slave to sin instead. It's the same thing, and both of them take us away from God. And I've found in my own life there's been times when I've kind of been living as a legalistic Christian, but I've not really been close to God at those times. And there's been times when I've been living, especially since I've qualified and worked at sea, it can be quite hard. And I can go into this life of sin, and of course that doesn't bring you close to God either. And we can sometimes feel trapped in one or the other, or maybe you feel like you're yo-yo between the two. But we need to be free. And this is what this passage is about. It's a passage about freedom and grace. I remember I had an experience which kind of taught me about freedom. And that experience was getting trapped. What happened was, I was working in the engine room on a ship. So in the engine room we've got these floor plates, and I took up the floor plate and I went down under the floor plate. And then I climbed across some tank tops and I went underneath the main engine. And I can fit through a gap that's my own hand span. I can fit through a gap that's this big. And that usually works, but in this case, I was trying to get past a pipe that was going down at an angle, and what happened was, as I was reaching through, I'd slipped, and I got myself stuck by my ribs, and I couldn't move my arms or my legs enough to get hold of something, and I really panicked, and it's quite a scary kind of thing when you feel like you're trapped. What I did, I'm not really sure how I got out of it, but I did get out of it, and when I got out of this hole, this trap, I didn't just push myself out, but I climbed back along the tank tops, and then I climbed back out of this hole, and then I crawled along the deck, because I just wanted to be as far away from this trap as I could be. And that's how we should be. We need a kind of freedom. In Galatians 5, it gives us a way out which is more beautiful than we can imagine. It's freedom. So from verse 16, he says, "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of your sinful nature." So that's freedom from sin. "For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." So that's freedom from law as well. Walk by the Spirit. Live by the Spirit. And what happens is that you start off on a road to become free. Free from sin and free from the law. But we are also free for something. For something beautiful. And that is like coming to God and saying, giving him the parts of character that you don't like. Maybe if you feel like you're legalistic, maybe you're self-righteous and arrogant and handing that to God. Or maybe if you're sinful, you find yourself selfish and angry and handing that to God. And it's this beautiful trade that what we get back is this beautiful character. The question, if you could have the freedom to rewrite your character into anything, what would it be? So, from verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such thing there is no law. No law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and its desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with His Spirit. So when you see what this passage is saying, it's even more amazing. Because the third way of living is this, what he calls life by the Spirit. And it's not simply a new set of laws. Paul isn't telling us to go and be more self-controlled and go and be more joyful. Actually, he's saying that if we live by the Spirit, these things can grow in our lives. And that's why he uses the word fruit of the Spirit. It's like a farmer trying to produce crop doesn't go and, you know, go into his kitchen and try and make crop out of ingredients. We know that is obvious, but he goes and ploughs the land and makes it and sows the seed and makes it into such a way that fruit can grow, that crop can go from it. If we wait on the Spirit of God, if we prepare ourselves and intentionally keep in step with His Spirit, then this good fruit will literally grow out in our lives. It's a freedom to be who we want to be. And it's a freedom to be who God wants us to be. And that's what this passage is saying. So the question is then, how do we actually put that into practice? What would it actually look like to walk with the Spirit, to live by the Spirit? Well, it's about a relationship with God and a relationship with God's Spirit and being in the presence of the Spirit of God. And that might be in prayer and in worship and in meditation and group prayer and fellowship with Christians. The list goes on. But the more time we spend with the Spirit of God, the more we start to reflect Him. The more time you spend with anybody, the more you start to pick up their traits and you start to sound like them. Anyone who knows me and Becca well knows that we spend a lot of time together. And recently I've noticed Becca sometimes says, "Hey, whoop." And it's because if you spend time with somebody, you start to sound like them, you start to pick up things. And so the more time we spend in God's Spirit, the more time we start to sound like Him and echo Him. And the more time we spend thinking about God and meditating on His Spirit, the more we start to reflect Him. When you realize you are loved, that you are loved by God, that God's love is actually in us, and if you can believe that and meditate on it, then God's love can start to bubble up and result in a love for God and a love for the people around us when we see that God loves them as well. And this one is amazing, but God has joy over you. And He has joy over me, and He has joy over our lives and our salvation and the time that we spend with Him. And the more you think about God having joy over you, you know, the more it makes you joyful. Spend time in God's Spirit and let Him have control of your life. And you'll start to be at peace as you realize that He's in control. And you'll start to find patience as you realize and trust His timing in your life. And see how the Spirit changes you. There might be many sins and areas in my life where I need to change. But if I really do this, if I spend time in His Spirit, He works on me with kindness and with gentleness and with goodness. And when we see that kind of mercy, then it helps us to be that way with the people that we are with, how much more we should be patient with them. And the Holy Spirit is faithful to us too. He is faithful. When Jesus talks about the Spirit, the name that He uses, it includes this going along with, this going along with you. And so the Spirit is with you always, and if you can focus on that when you're praying, then you know that the Spirit is with you. But also when you're with your friends and when you're at work, you know, the Spirit is with you. And so if you can focus on the Spirit being with you and look for it every opportunity to bear this fruit, then really He will start to change our life. And we will no longer be controlled by a set of laws, and we will no longer be controlled by our own sinful nature, but instead we will start to be self-controlled, controlled by our own Spirit, which has been shaped to reflect His Spirit. And it results in this beautiful fruit in our lives. So it's great that we're going to embark on this series about the fruit of the Spirit. And so I'm going to try and listen to each message. I'll have to get them on podcast because I'll be away by then. But why not try and focus on each word for each week? So I think next week Delvin and Emily are going to be sharing a message about love. So how about following that week with just praying love into our lives, and then the week after with joy. And then look for ways that we can see this coming out in our lives, because it would be no good praying for joy in our lives and then stomping about miserable. You know, we've got to work with the Spirit, and look for opportunities on each one. Look for opportunities to bring them in to social situations and into our own situations. And maybe allow the Spirit to work in our lives this week, showing us areas which we need to change. Maybe there's sin that we need to work on, or maybe there's legalism that we need to work on, and clear the way so that He can work. And I'm excited about this idea because it's a message for everyone. Wherever we are in our walk with God, we can do more of this. And I noticed that the church is starting this series on the fruit of the Spirit at a time of change as well. So, and it's been coming up, this idea has been coming up in serve as well, this idea of being free to live like this. And these new ventures that we're about to go to, you know, by the time I get back from being at sea, we'll probably be out of this building, and we're going to be more visible. People are going to see us worshipping in a different place. And then hopefully, in the quite near future, we're going to be back in this building. And we're going to have more things like we did on Wednesday, where people are going to come in for social events. And, you know, we can really use this building. And imagine if the people leaving this building are not only going to say, well, they're kind of weird Christians, but which they probably will. But as well as that, imagine if they were leaving and saying, weren't those people loving? You know, wasn't that a joyful place and a peaceful place to be? If people were saying that about this building, that would really be an amazing thing. But we can't obtain these characteristics through our own will, but by living in the Spirit of God and keeping in step with Him, and of course giving the glory to Him. So I'm just going to finish with something that I found from that Charles Spurgeon said. And he said this: since the Holy Spirit is with you, in all your learning, ask Him to teach you. In all your suffering, ask Him to sustain you. In all your teaching, ask Him to give you the right words. And in all your witnessing, ask him to give you constant wisdom. And in all his service, depend on him for his help. Believingly, depend on the Holy Spirit. Amen.